Are you tired of your digestive system feeling like a circus act gone wrong? Introducing Ritual's 3-in-1 Gut Superhero Symbiotic Plus. A probiotic, prebiotic, and postbiotic all rolled into one. And with 25% off with the code POWER, there's no better time to check out Ritual. Let's break it down. Probiotics are like the cool kids at the gut party, keeping everything in check and making sure the good vibes are flowing. Prebiotics are their wingmen, fueling the party with all the right snacks to keep the good bacteria thriving. And postbiotics, well, they're like the cleanup crew, sweeping away the mess and leaving your gut feeling fresh and fabulous. So say goodbye to the gut drama, and remember, there's no more shame in your gut game. Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/power. Sober Powered is sponsored by BetterHelp. I was a stress drinker, and I thought, if only I didn't have so much stress, I wouldn't have to drink this much. But do you know why I had all this stress? Because I didn't have the skills to take stressors off my plate, so they built up and wore me down. Some stressors are big and others are small, but carrying around 25 minor annoyances is going to have an impact on you. Plus, did you know that alcohol messes with our stress response system and decreases our ability to handle stress? It makes small things seem like a much bigger deal. Learning how to manage stress and take things off my plate has changed my life. I'm calm, I'm less reactive, and I believe that I can handle whatever comes my way. I feel proud of the way that I handle things now. You can get there too. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/sober to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/sober. Tossing and turning all night like a salad? It's time to put those sleepless nights to bed for good. Enter Tenassi, my sleep saviors, and they have science to back up their sleep, anxiety, and pain-relieving powers. Back in 2016, they invested a $2.5 million grant to Middle Tennessee State University to study the hemp plant. Turns out their special patent-pending CBD-CBDA formula is twice as effective as CBD alone and can be more effective than over-the-counter ibuprofen, acetaminophen, and aspirin. So if you're tired of tossing and turning like a rotisserie chicken, then Tenassi's got your back with their range of great products from tinctures to gummies to lotions. Tenassi is my go-to when I can't sleep or I have way too much anxiety. I'm so glad that I discovered them. So go to Tenassi.com and use the code POWER to get 25% off your order. That's Tenassi.com, T-A-N-A-S-I, to get 25% off your first order with the promo code POWER. I cover a lot of research on this podcast, and it's probably difficult for you to remember it all. So in this episode, I'm sharing my favorite things that I learned in February and how you can apply each of them to your life. So let's dig in. A lot of great episodes in February. The month started with episode 191, which was the most popular episode of the month. I got a lot of great feedback on this one, and I'm working on a follow-up episode, so stay tuned. The main study of this episode was a 2022 study published in the British Journal of Pharmacology, and what they found is that repeatedly drinking during the withdrawal stage strengthened associations with alcohol more than the number of total years that you've been drinking or how severe your problem with alcohol is. They discovered that it's the experience of learning how alcohol relieves negative withdrawal symptoms that leads to stronger cravings, and this is way more powerful than learning alcohol's positive effects. So we trick ourselves into thinking that we drink to have fun, feel good, or unwind. This good feeling that you're chasing is actually just relieving a bad withdrawal feeling. So in other words, we drink to relieve the suffering that our drinking caused. This was a rat study where they conditioned half the group to associate alcohol with a new scent while they were going through withdrawal. And after multiple cycles of withdrawal, they discovered that the rats that were conditioned with the new scent persisted in trying to get alcohol even when their feet were shocked, representing negative consequences. We measure relapse in animal studies by training them to press a lever to get alcohol. And the rats who went through multiple cycles of withdrawal pressed the lever twice as much. So the conclusion from episode 191 is that multiple cycles of withdrawal impacts the plasticity of your brain, meaning its ability to adapt and change. And this makes it harder to get and stay sober. If your brain is less adaptable, then you get stuck repeating the same behavior over and over, expecting a different result. This study also found that environmental cues that are reinforced during withdrawal become more powerful than the cues that we learn during the beginning of our drinking, and then lead to more intense cravings when you go back to drinking. So remember, withdrawal lasts about 2 weeks. So if you're going back and forth with less than 2 weeks, then any reinforcement that you're making to your alcohol cues is going to cause more intense cravings the next time you try to quit, making it even harder for you. We trick ourselves into thinking that we drink for positive reasons, but it's really just to avoid negatives. If you're struggling with this, I have a quiz in the show notes about helping you understand why you're craving alcohol. And if you'd like, after that, a week-long email series walking you through some perspective work. If you're in the back and forth cycle and you keep getting a few days or a week before you return to drinking, then this means that you need to take it very seriously. Going through the detox process over and over again puts stress on your brain, and it strengthens whatever cues are causing you to go back to drinking, and that makes it harder the next time. So what I mean by taking it very seriously is getting some support. Stop telling yourself that it's not that bad and you're not the type of person that needs support. You can keep telling yourself that for years until it does get that bad, or you can address it now and get your life back. The next episode in February was episode 192. Do you need a drink or are you just hungry? This was all about how alcohol impacts our hunger hormone, ghrelin. One of the studies that I discussed was a 2011 study published in Addiction Biology that looked at ghrelin levels in participants with addiction over a 12-week period. All of the participants were in treatment at the time, and they had to have at least 2 days a week where they binge drank and have the desire to be sober. So they measured cravings and ghrelin levels each month for the 12 weeks. Half the group stayed sober and the other half didn't. And when they compared the two groups, they found that the people who drank had higher baseline levels of ghrelin, meaning they were hungrier. After they went back to drinking, ghrelin levels dropped, while ghrelin increased for the group who stayed sober over the 3-month time period, and then it started decreasing in that last month. So when we quit drinking, we get hungrier. Hunger puts stress on the body, and we're used to dealing with stress with a drink. Hunger also makes us really cranky, which we're also used to dealing with a drink. This study found that the more cravings you had, the higher your ghrelin levels were, and they found a similar trend with the obsession. So the more you obsessed about drinking, the more cravings you had, and the higher your ghrelin levels were. Obsession and craving obviously go together, but remember what's going on with ghrelin. When you're hungry, you're supposed to eat to survive. So the brain starts releasing dopamine to motivate you to seek out food. So what else does dopamine motivate us to seek out? Alcohol. And often, we would choose a drink over a snack anyway, so it's easy to confuse hunger for alcohol cravings. If you're in the first 3 months of sobriety, then you need to be mindful of when you are eating. High protein snacks and meals are very helpful to keep the hunger away, and my clients have found that a high protein snack around 3 p.m. has made a significant difference in their cravings for that evening. You may be extra hungry in the beginning, but that should even out. Use all that protein for good and go to the gym and do some deadlifting. If you follow me on Instagram, you may have seen I am finally back at the gym. My deadlift is up to 165 pounds already, and my goal is to get it to 200. The next episode in February was 193. Feeling more emotional and anxious? How is your sleep? And this was inspired by a 2-week period of insomnia that I just got out of. I get insomnia once or twice a year around daylight savings time. So as I'm recording this, it just passed 2 days ago, thankfully. So that episode was all about how even minor changes in our sleep can impact our mood. A 2023 study published in Psychological Bulletin looked at 154 studies that covered over 50 years of research on sleep deprivation and mood. So in all these studies, the participants' sleep was disrupted for at least one night, either by keeping them awake, getting less hours of sleep overall, or waking them up throughout the night. And then they looked at least one emotion-related thing, like self-reported mood, response to emotional stimuli, and measures of depression or anxiety. The study found that even when we're mildly deficient in sleep, there are negative changes in how we react to everyday things. So if you're someone that gets triggered by negative emotions, then this may mean you experience even more negative emotions throughout the day, or the ones that you experience are more intense. They found that sleep disruption resulted in less positive emotions and increased anxiety, heart rate, and worrying. And you may be wondering, what does mildly deficient in sleep mean? Even just after losing a couple hours of sleep. And the link here was stronger for increased anxiety than it was depression. Sleep helps us cope with emotional stress, and sleep deprivation can make us more sensitive to stress and emotions. Sleep smooths the edge on triggering emotions. So we process the day while we sleep, and the brain keeps the important stuff and gets rid of the rest. Sleep loss can make us more reactive too, which is already a big problem for us. Studies have found that when you don't get enough healthy sleep, you become more reactive to negative stuff and less sensitive to positive stuff. So basically, you're very triggered and you probably feel like your life sucks. My advice here would be to focus on sleep hygiene. Wake up and go to bed at the same time every night, even on weekends. So my schedule, I go to bed at 9:30 and I wake up at 6 every single day, no matter what. And now my body knows what to expect, and I get really tired at 9:30. In my opinion, the best way to do it is by waking up at the time you want to wake up at. You can't sleep late and then expect to go to bed early. You're just not going to be tired. Episode 174 was about how important routine is for sobriety, and having a sleep routine is part of that. Routine calms us. So the next episode was 194, and this was about 5 stupid coping skills that work. And this was another popular one. I love coping skills, and the stupider the better, because the stupid ones are the ones that work. So go listen to that if you want all the skills, but here's one of them. Leave and change your focus. This is something that I talk a lot about in anger management. When you're anxious, angry, or triggered to drink, there's some sort of cue activating your brain, and it's really difficult to redirect when you're still exposed to the trigger. So remove yourself from the situation, even if it's just to go to the bathroom at a party or family thing, and just take a break. You've probably seen online that a craving lasts about 15 minutes, but if you're just sitting there being triggered, it's probably going to last longer. So the just sit with it advice that we all hear doesn't mean literally sit there and suffer. That's what I thought though when I was first learning coping skills, and I really didn't get it. My therapist kept asking what would happen if I just sat with it. I don't know, I guess I would feel increasingly uncomfortable. Like, I don't know what you're looking for here. So if that sounds like you, then it's important to do something about it and not just suffer. Sitting and suffering makes you more likely to select a self-destructive coping skill like drinking, emotional eating, yelling at people, or road raging. There's another coping skill I teach about called situation selection, and this is where you intentionally avoid triggering situations. People ask me a lot if they should go to social events or to the bar with friends, and sometimes they even say they don't want to go. So situation selection is about avoiding situations that are triggering. This is especially important in the first 3 months while you're getting used to sobriety. There will be plenty of time to socialize later. So my main message from that episode was, if you think that these coping skills are stupid and you're prejudging them as something that won't work for you, that is because you're still looking for a shortcut. And nothing healthy gives you a shortcut. So keep an open mind here. Episode 195 was about, when does sobriety get better? I didn't have any studies to discuss in that one, so go listen to the full episode for some perspective. It was all about patience. We have no patience while we're drinking, and then we bring that into sobriety. I see people expect that at 15 days or 2 months, things should be great for them. You've barely even experienced sobriety at that point. The first year is all about getting through most of your firsts. First of each holiday, first social stuff, first vacation, first trigger. And then year two is about building more comfort, practicing more coping skills, and embracing sobriety as just a part of your life. So if you're finding yourself getting discouraged, try to check these thoughts and be patient with the process. Episode 196 was another popular one, and this was about brain recovery. So in this episode, I talked about studies that I found from the first week or so of sobriety all the way up to almost 7 years in, and how the brain recovers at each stage. It's important to say, too, that this is for most people. This isn't for people that develop actual conditions due to their drinking, like dementia, Wernicke-Korsakoff syndrome, or alcoholic neuropathy. So with that disclaimer there, my favorite study was the one that I talked about at the end, the 2007 study that looked at cognitive functions of healthy controls and people who had been sober for about 6.7 years. And they looked at all sorts of different cognitive skills and found that they basically performed exactly the same, except the sober people had some deficits in spatial processing or knowing where things are in space. That's it. So after 6 or 7 years, we have the brain of a person who didn't blast themselves at all with alcohol. So you may be tempted to feel frustrated about that timeline, and that's because we trained ourselves to be impatient and expect instant gratification. So go back and listen to episode 195 again about patience. But something that I covered in episode 196 is a ton of healing happens in the first year. We get pretty close to healthy controls by the first year, and then the rest of the healing happens over the next few years. I've been seeing people getting discouraged lately around 2 months, and even though 2 months feels like a lot and it's a great accomplishment, it's really not that much time. Compare it to how long you've been drinking for. Some people just feel worse in the beginning of sobriety and they don't get that awesome pink cloud, but then it gets better for them later. So don't give up before you get to the good part. If you missed any of these episodes, I really encourage you to go back and listen to them. I work really hard to make these episodes interesting and helpful, so I hope that you'll check them out. And I will talk to you in the next one.
Oh, hey, it's Erin.
And I'm Michaela, and we're the hosts of the Two Sober Girls podcast, and we are on a mission to spill the wild truth about sobriety.
Forget the rosé all day cliche. Sobriety is flipping amazing.
Absolutely. It's not just about quitting the drink. It's a gift you give yourself and your loved ones.
So what are you waiting for? Break up with that old toxic relationship with alcohol and let us show you the possibilities.
And here's the thing. Everything your precious heart desires becomes way easier without the influence of alcohol.
We're not just two sober girls. We're also wellness coaches. We're here to show you how to optimize health, lifestyle, and beauty, feel sexy and alive as F.
So stay tuned because we're rolling out new episodes every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. And trust us, they have your name written all over them. We can't wait to share the magic of sobriety and wellness with you. Subscribe to Two Sober Girls Podcast today and come follow us on Instagram for behind the scenes action and send us a DM. We can't wait to meet you.